Now, I'm calling in regards to your putting down of the former Pope John Paul II. I'm hoping, Marcia, that, I believe that's your Jewish name, that you will not attack Benedictum the 16th. I find a lot of his policies concerning homosexuals and other religions to be right on the mark with my conservative thinking.
On the TalkWarrior.com radio network, this show is dedicated to fuck me. You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This show is dedicated to fighting republicanism, evil, and defending the law of God. Today is Sunday, April 24th. You can call in at 415-738-0689. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. Now introducing the star of Live from Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai, Massachusetts, weighing in at 201 pounds, the heavyweight champion of Hebes, the circumcised surrealist, the scourge of Limbaugh, Moshe Moses Moskowitz.
Okay, I want to start off by talking about my Passover dinner. First, I just want to say this is Reverend Knight that we have with me. I'd like to thank him for being on the show.
Thank you, Moshe.
Okay. The thanks is all yours. But I want to talk about my Passover dinner because it was, you know, a fucking disaster. I mean, I wanted to talk about, like, you know, big issues, but I wanted to talk about, we will talk about Ward Churchill, we will talk about the Pope, just, you know, and I will try to respond to this angry white male's issues. But we will get into the Pope, Ward Churchill, but first I want to talk about my Passover nightmare because it was just an emotional disaster for me. But also it was sort of a spiritual sort of, I don't know what you would want to call it, but I'm just going to say it. Like, my mother is insane, okay, and her husband, who is my stepfather, he's also out of his fucking mind. But anyways, my whole life, I my mother can't cook something without there being a piece of fucking hair in the food. You know, it's just a matter of time. You know there's going to be that hair. You know you're going to run into it. And it's just a matter of time before you're going to hit it. And, you know, you could just live in denial. Every time I live in denial, I say, no, I'm not going to be a hair. But there's always the hair. But, okay, this is what happened. And you can't mention the hair, okay? Because then my mother has a fucking wig out, okay? It's like, you ever see a Seinfeld episode? And what's his name's mother? The fat guy. Fatty. What's his name?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
George.
Yeah.
You know, his mother, it's like, that's exactly how my mother is. But anyways, you know, first, you know, okay, during the Passover, Jews eat this thing called, like, horosis. This is thing with walnuts and apples and, well, okay, that's the first hair. I'm like 2 minutes in, I find the first fucking hair, okay? And I stop, and see, you got to just shut up. Because if you say anything, they're going to have a wig out. They're going to deny there being hair. They're going to say I'm crazy. There's no hair. And they're going to have a wig out. So I said, okay, be cool. Be cool, Moshe. Be cool. Okay? And then I went on to the matzo ball soup. I'm being cool. I can't eat the horosis, but I'm going on to the matzo ball soup. And there's that, not a hair.
God.
Another hair. It's like two hairs in like 10 fucking minutes, okay? And I'm like, okay, we're going to be cool, okay? Because they're going to have a fucking wig out. If they know that I found that hair, they're going to wig on me. Okay? So I'm cool. I'm just going about my business. And then my mother's like, oh, why don't you eat the matzo ball? I said, well, I'm just not very hungry. Oh, why don't you give it to Harrison? I'm sure Harrison would like to eat it. Harrison is is Bob's, that's my stepfather's son. Okay, mm-hmm. He's like, my, I don't know what you call him, a stepbrother? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I said, no, Harrison doesn't want the soup. And Harrison's like, no, I'll take it. I said, no, Harrison doesn't want the soup. And my mother's saying, well, I don't understand. Why doesn't Harrison want the soup? And I say, because there's a hair in it. And it's like, then I get the wig out. There's this complete avalanche of wigginess. It's like, oh, boy, every time there's a hair and oh, I don't know why I cook and I do this and I sweat and I labor for you every time and you're always complaining about hair. You know, I don't know why I do this for you. And, you know, and then there's the guilt trip. And Bob is like, you know, I don't see a hair. But Bob must be fucking blind, okay? Because Harrison acknowledged he knows there was hair. I'm not insane, okay? But I just hate the whole hair trip, man. And it pisses me off, and I know this is not a world issue. But anyways, I had sort of a spiritual experience after this. And I thought to myself, you know, this is my problem in life. This is my problem. I don't know how to shut my mouth. I don't know how to shut up. I'm an asshole. I don't know how to submit. I don't know how to submit to authority. I don't know how to submit to bullshit. And it's like, that's why I don't have a job. That's why I don't have a girlfriend. That's why I don't have nothing. And it's not completely, you know, and this is why it is, because I don't submit. I just don't know how to shut my fucking mouth. And I'm trying to, like, think of this, trying to find what is my role in life? What is my adaptive purpose in the human species? You know, what is the function of an asshole?
You are a talk warrior.
Yes, but what is my function? How do I serve an adaptive purpose for the human race? I can't figure that one out.
But that's not yours to figure out.
What do you mean it's not
part,
mine to figure out? I'm having an existential fucking crisis here. I'm an asshole, and there's no reason for my existence.
No, man, this is a conversation I had yesterday with some people over lunch, and this kid, all excited about, being a music video producer, and he's, like, talking about, his place and his business. And I'm like, dude, don't even worry about, what you're thinking of the future or what's around you, or don't make assumptions or anything. Just do it. Just do your project. Do that the best. And then when that one's over, do another one. It's in the now. It's in the now, folks. Don't worry about all this, I got to be this and I got to be that and I need 2.5 kids and I need the house and I need the SUV. No, you don't. All you need to do is exist. Live in the now. It's much easier.
That's like some kind of Zen answer.
Yeah.
But it's not fulfilling my existential crisis here. It's not helping me with this living the now. But, what's the point? You can't give me that. You can't tell me that.
Okay.
I'm giving you a challenge, so,
The point is that there is no point.
Oh, well, that's helpful for me. That doesn't help me. There is no point. Then what's the use?
Well, the only one who's going to answer that really is yourself. So, I mean, you just keep looking.
All right, look. Let's move on. I'm gonna even take a break here because I gotta rest my voice. We're gonna take a break. You as a listener won't even know what hit you because I'm just gonna edit this out. Okay, hold on. Okay. We could do either one or two things. We could either play the second recording voicemail that the angry white male left. And I'll use that to segue into the Pope because he wanted me to talk about the Pope. And he also talked about a Jewish conspiracy, which I also want to address. Or I know you want to talk about Ward Churchill.
Well, we'll get to whatever we get.
I don't give a shit. So we can do whatever you want. I really don't care.
Well, why don't we hit the calls?
Okay. So I'm going to cue this baby up, and we will play the second call.
Now, I was just calling in, Marsha, because I was hoping to hit you off at the pass. A lot of times you talked down Pope John Paul II, and now with the new Benedictum the 16th, I'm hoping that you will lay off the newly elected Pope, the spokesman of God, because a lot of the issues that you might consider right-wing or ultra-conservative are right on the mark. His views on homosexuals, for example, is anti-human nature. It is anti-productive and deviant. Now, I don't think that perhaps they are behind this themselves, because behind every major conspiracy in this country, you will find there's a Jew, son of a bitch, at the heart of the situation. So I hope that in the future you will lay off the Catholics or you'll have to deal with me.
Okay. Well, I don't know. That sort of was a threat. I mean, if in the future, if I don't lay off the Catholics, I'm going to have to deal with him. Well, you know what, Sean? No one threatens me. Okay, so tells me. You might threaten me on the street. You know, pull a knife on me and say, "Give me your wallet, or else." You know. You're allowed to. You could threaten me on the street, but on my fucking show, no one threatens me. If I want to bash the Catholics, or if I want to bash the Pope, which I will do today, okay, I will do it.
But so, dude, he seemed pretty hardcore, man. He seemed like, you know, Southern mint julep drinking motherfucker. You know,
I don't know.
Hardcore.
I don't know. Some redneck. I don't know. I'm really. I don't want to really. Look, I don't come to this show I don't want to, like, bash the people calling. At least I respect them, even if they happen to be rednecks. But I'm not going to tolerate this fucking threatening shit. First, I want to talk about the Jewish conspiracy. You know, I didn't write down the exact quote. It was something like, behind every something is a Jewish conspiracy. I should have written it down, okay? But let me just say that that's true, okay? That's true. The Jews are involved in every conspiracy, every heinous conspiracy, and it all started with Jesus Christ, because he is a Jew, and Jesus Christ was circumcised, just like me. He was a whining son of a bitch like me. He was a penny-pinching, cheapo bastard, just like me. So let us not forget that us sneaky Jews, that Jesus was one of us. Okay.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you hear all over the place that the Jews killed Christ, but didn't the Romans kill Christ, and didn't the Romans have either their own pagan religion, or weren't they, like, Christian at that point? So that's the thing I'm trying to understand. Who actually killed Christ?
Well, let me just say one thing. There's no physical evidence whatsoever for the existence of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about Christ, we're really talking about a fictitious, something that might be fictitious.
Yeah.
Now, unlike, there was a King David. We know that. There's evidence, but there's no evidence whatsoever for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just clarify who killed Christ. The Romans killed Christ, okay? According to the Gospels, okay? Mm-hmm. Jews probably weren't, they probably didn't like Jesus very much, okay? They, mm-hmm. And they probably didn't mind that the Romans killed Christ, but they did not kill Christ. They did not have authority to kill Christ. The Romans.
Don't wear the bad rap, dude.
Romans were in control. Let's get into the Pope. I don't want to get too tied down on the whole Jewish conspiracy thing, and the fact that Christ himself was a penny pinching Jew. I want to talk about this new Pope. I'm going to read you something. I know that people have, everyone, from the younger generation, which is like everyone from MTV on, like I'm part of this generation, the ADD generation.
Oh, sure. Me too.
Right.
I'm proud of it.
But, I know that I don't like to read these long quotes, but I'm going to do it because I know I'm going to lose like half the ADD people. I'm going to read this because I think it's important. Okay. I'm taking this quote from Yahoo News. This is probably an AP article. Okay. Here, German Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, the Vatican theologian who was elected Pope Benedict. Oh, man, I don't, what is it, 16th?
Yep, 16th.
Okay, yeah.
XVI.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At least someone has an education here. But intervene in the 2004 U.S. election campaign ordering bishops to deny communion to abortion rights supporters, including presidential candidate John Kerry, in a June 2004 letter to U.S. bishops enunciating principles of worthiness for communion recipients, Ratzinger specified that strong and open supporters of abortion should be denied the Catholic sacrament for being guilty of a, quote, grave sin, unquote. He specifically mentioned, quote, the case of the Catholic politician consistently campaigning and voting for permissive abortion and euthanasia laws, unquote, a reference widely understood to mean Democratic candidate Kerry, a Catholic who has defended abortion rights. Now, what bothers me here is not the position that this guy is taking. Okay, I don't agree with it, but I'm pro-choice, but I would respect the position if it were consistent, but it's not consistent. Why is it okay for the church to say, we should sort of not acknowledge people who support abortion rights, okay? But if you support the evil war against Iraq and the killing of people, of children, of babies who were already born, innocent civilians who were already born, but that's okay. So there seems to be, a big motherfucking contradiction here.
Well, that's what we call dogmatic law.
You're going to have to help. You need to help us as naive listeners and naive people and naive of Catholicism. You're going to have to help me, and I'm sure many of the listeners, to understand what the fuck this means.
Well, it's actually kind of simple. If you, Jesus once said, whatever you hold true on earth, we shall hold true in heaven. So now this pontiff Vatican is making all these judgments and these dictations, these rules, that the rest of the idolaters that follow him, you know, have to abide by. You know, there was like you can't eat this on Sunday before, and now it's the abortion thing. You know, it's just dogmatic law. Whatever you hold true on earth, we shall hold true in heaven is basically the piece of shit. So it's like man's law for God. And that's just like the huge-ass loophole, in my opinion. It's like the absolution of sins. It's like you go to church and you get your blessing, you say a couple of Hail Marys, and you're back at work fucking everybody, you know, over on their pensions. But it's okay. You already confessed. Your sins are absolved. You know, it's just like a...
But I don't understand. What does this have to do with the contradiction? It's okay to you know... It's not okay to extinguish life before it's born, but it's okay to extinguish life after it's born. I'm still not getting that.
Yeah, I don't either. That's the one thing I have to at least hold up for the former Pope, as he did, you know, speak out against the Iraqi war. He said this is a detriment to human.
Yeah, but remember, the buck stopped with John Paul.
Yeah.
Okay? He was the ultimate authority, and he was against the war. But, and you know, remember, this guy was acting under the authority of Pope John Paul.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And John Paul was really getting involved in politics. Uh-huh. And that's all it is.
It depends on the world stage, but yeah, they're always kind of in there as far as, you know, being an authority on morality or whatever, and basically giving somebody the go ahead, you know, to do, you know, one thing or the other.
I mean, it would have been okay to deny communion to John Kerry if he had also if the church also denied communion to people who voted for the war, for Catholics who voted for this war.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me something. What does communion actually do for you? What is the function of it?
It doesn't do anything.
Well, no, but explain. What is the function of it?
It's supposed to absolve you of your sins. You basically, you confess your sins to a priest, and a priest says, okay, well, for absolution, you need to say this many Hail Marys, this many Lady of Graces, this many. You pray, and then somehow after you say these prayers, you're absolved of sin, and you can go on for another week, you know, like guilt free.
So if you're not absolved of these sins, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah, that's basically the party line. Yeah.
So what the church has basically done is condemn John Kerry to hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's fine. I think the son of a bitch should go to hell for voting for the war. However, I think that there is many other people who voted for the war that should also be condemned to hell.
Oh yeah.
But okay, we're going to move on to Ward Churchill and you know I have a little something. I don't know a lot about this guy. I read a few things about some accusations of plagiarism.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to let you take over this topic. I know you wanted to talk about him, so let's talk about your God.
Ward
Churchill.
He's just an honest man. And you know what?
What do you say, an honest or dishonest man?
He's an honest man. He's more like you because he speaks his mind whether you like it or not. You know, he's gonna point out the genocide. He's going to point out, you know, the hypocrisy. He's going to point out, you know, the true history of America. You know, that's what I respect him for. I think he's a great man. And actually to, you know, address all these accusations of plagiarism, they throw that around. They threw that at Martin Luther King also, saying, oh, well, he plagiarized Gandhi. He plagiarized Martin King. You know, he plagiarized William James. You know, there are many quotes that I use in my literature that I guess somebody could turn around and say that's plagiarism. But,
yeah.
Hold on here.
I've got to stop you here. I have the smoking gun on my website, You'll have to scroll down. But I'm specifically talking here, when I talk, and there's been a number of accusations that I haven't really looked into. But one that I did was, he took a piece of artwork from someone called Thomas E. Mails, an artist who's now dead. Okay, this was published in 71 or so, and what Churchill did. This was pencil and ink. Paper. I don't know what the hell.
It looked like the original was a sketch drawing.
Sketch drawing, yeah. And what Churchill did was he took the image and he mirrored it. Okay, he made a mirrored image of it and made something called a seriograph. Uh-huh. Now this is some form of print using silk screen or something. I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know the details of this stuff. But essentially, he just took this artwork and sort of just doctored it a little bit. Took Mails' artwork, doctored it, and signed his name to it. Okay? Now, and then when he's confronted on it, and you can see the video here, about it, he doesn't sit down and calmly explain, what's going on. He becomes violent, and he hits the reporter. You know, he takes a swing at him. You know.
Well, is this
the reaction of an innocent man? I say, probably not. But go on.
First, you have to understand that even in the art world, if you change a piece of artwork, say it's a Picasso, and you change it 10%, you can reproduce it and change it 10%, and that's your artwork. That's the rule. As long as you change it about 10%.
Picasso's in the public domain by now.
There's still people going to jail for forging those things. But I want to make the point that, first off, by flipping at 180, I would consider that 50% of a change.
That's 50%. If I scan this image, okay, and put it into Photoshop, and scan Mails' image, put it in Photoshop, and all I have to do is mirror it, that's 50%, and then I publish it, put my name on it, that's 50% and I'm cool.
But he also colorized it too, and he colorized it.
Well, that's.
But see, that's the truth.
That's not very,
the way it is.
So what is that?
I can take any piece of video or film and alter it digitally, and it's mine. That's it. If I take something from Star Wars and put some kind of distortion or something in it, that's my artwork. That's the essence of art. And then you've got people who will, drive the issue home because they're ignorant of art. They're ignorant of.
Oh, come on here! I'm looking at the two images, and they are identical. Okay, Churchill's has some color.
Ink.
What?
And in color, and it's backwards, 180, probably for print. That could be a master. And actually, if it is 180 and you print it on a shirt, then it's going to be closer to the original. But the fact is, he changed it 10%, and he did give credit to that artist.
I don't know. He claimed from this article, he claimed to give credit. Did you come upon evidence for this that he gave credit to the artist?
That's the thing. I mean, I would get mad too if you said something and then they turn it around, which they've been doing to him. And that's not even it. That's just a fraction of what's going on, with the media, coming down on him for basically speaking his mind.
Sean, I think we should just cut the crap, okay? This really looks suspect. I mean, to say, I can understand if someone is taking someone else's work, Burroughs takes other people's writing and he screws around with it, but that's he's doing something really.
No, I think you're just repeating what you're hearing on like MSNBC.
No. Look. What I really want to do in this show is to really cut the crap. And I don't want to follow people just because they happen to be, you know, left-wing gods, you know, whether they be Che Guevara, okay, or Roger Moore, you know.
Well, yeah, that's cool.
Just because they're God,
it doesn't mean you have to follow them. My point is that there's so much crap out there that people dismiss him before they even listen to what he has to say. And that's worth getting mad at.
I think some of the shit he has to say, actually, you know, I'm pretty out there, you know. You know me, I'm pretty left. But even, some of the stuff for me is just like, I'll read your quote here, you know. As for those in the World Trade Center, well, really, let's get a grip here, shall we?
Yes.
True enough, they were civilians of a sort, but innocent. Give me a break. They formed a technocratic core at the very heart of America's global financial empire, the, quote, the mighty engine of profit, unquote, to which the military dimension of U.S. policy has always been enslaved, and they will do both willingly and knowingly. Okay,
yeah, he's talking about the technocratic core.
Yeah.
He's talking about the technicians, the bond traders, the people who made that fucking system run, the slave ships run back and forth, basically. He's not talking about the innocents. He's not talking about the janitors. And, in fact, he says, I feel terrible for those kids who died on the plane, you know, that hit the World Trade Center, but I equally feel terrible about the 500,000 children that got killed in Iraq because of our financial sanctions. And that's the point he's trying to make, is that Americans have this sliding scale when it comes to valuing human life.
No, I understand that.
There is no
scale. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think, you know.
But you've just taken that quote completely out of context, just like Fox.
I don't know about that.
I really
question whether this guy says crazy shit just for shock value or not. I mean, I'm not sure.
Also, I would like to point out that article is from September 12th, 2001. The day after September 11th, he was called to give a knee-jerk assertion of what, you know, he saw on television. He turned on the TV and he says, he's down at the bottom in the lower third, you know, in the bottom of the screen, senseless. And he thinks to himself, well, you know what? That's the most wrong thing you could put there in the possible time. Because there is no senseless. There's a reason for it.
Oh, I agree with that.
Let's look at the reason for it.
No, I agree with that.
But what I'm a little confused about... People are bickering about stuff that he's written that they take completely out of context, then you come up with this picture that you can get, you know, a little more ammo that you can just irk at him, and then there's a whole bunch of people that are questioning whether he's an actual Native American Indian.
Let's get back on this paragraph.
Sure.
I want to focus on this again. As for those in the World Trade Center, okay... he's not talking about those people in this so-called technocratic core, these evil people.
But if you read the quote, he does mention the technocrats, and that's what he's referring to.
He was saying, as for those in the World Trade Center, and then he goes on to say, they formed a technocratic core. Now, how about the janitors that worked there? How about the secretaries that worked there? Were they also evil?
No, they're innocent bystanders. And he says he feels sorry for those people, too.
Where does he say that?
You got to understand. You got to feel sorry.
Could you have the book? Could you help me?
No, I don't have the article with me.
Maybe I'm just having an absence of information here. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying...
You have to listen to what he says. I mean,
you know,
literally, you're going by a little soundbite.
Look, that's always what Republicans, right-wingers, always say. They say, well, how come you like Bush? And they say, well, you got to listen to what he says. So that's not good enough in this show.
Okay.
We need the facts. And we're getting beyond the bullshit here.
I've got a CD that I can probably, you know, get you to.
If you modify it, just if you reverse it, could we get 50%? Could you change it 10%, and we can legally use it?
Actually, that's what I air that stuff on my station all the time. That's called art. Yeah, absolutely.
No. What it's called is a copyright infringement.
That's fine too. But you see, in painting, they used to call it montage. The fact that we can't do that with audio yet is just a matter of time.
Well, look.
Anyone can take any picture out of a magazine and put it together and put it on a canvas, and all of a sudden it's their artwork. But you do that with music, and you've got, you know, idiots like James Brown off, you know, on your butt, and the record label's wanting an incredible amount of money to use a sample from the Beatles or something where it should be free.
Well, when Vanilla Ice did his song "Ding Ding 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 Ding," you remember that?
Hammer, yeah.
Oh no! I don't think it was Hammer. I think it was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
It was a white guy.
Uh-huh. But
you remember? It was like the first white rapper.
Hammer's, it was Rick James or Hammer, one of those.
No, it was a white.
That was the thing.
It was a white guy.
He paid for that though.
No, he didn't pay for it, and Queen was really pissed at him.
Oh, maybe you got.
And I think they may have taken the court over that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It seems to me like we got that. I don't know. I mean,
that's just the
intellectual property is intellectual property.
I mean, they really have to wake up to the new millennium of, you know, information is is going to be free, you know, and
No. Information shouldn't be free. Okay, intellectual property really should not be free.
Depends on what it is.
Any intellectual property that's not deemed as copyrighted should be respected.
I have my differences there.
Have you ever done any art? Have you ever written a book?
Oh, I haven't written a book, but yeah, I've done art.
You've done art, so you think that after you make some art, it's okay to...
It's a gift anyway. I mean, that's the point. People are going to write songs whether they get paid for it or not. And those are the kind of people that I play on my station. If you'll notice, I don't air, you know, a whole lot of mainstream music because there's so much better stuff out there that's not mainstream. And it's basically all art. And if they want to rip, you know, whoever... Yeah, I'm game to it. You know, I'm not making any money. I'm going to rebroadcast it because it's all about that. It's all about, you know,
yes,
the,
but if
the
you
gift
don't,
of art.
If you don't have the right to rebroadcast it, okay?
I don't have the right to make money off of it. I don't have the right to make money off of anything.
What do you think
like that?
Churchill made money on from selling this stuff?
But he altered it.
He gave credit where credit is due. You know, okay. Look, let's be real here. You know, you could look at these images with your own eyes.
He
didn't alter it that much.
The issue is not a painting. The issue is not a quote. The issue is 500,000 children dead in Iraq. The issue is a sliding scale of human value that the Americans...
No, the issue here... No, look.
On the top end.
Reverend,
and
Reverend, Reverend.
On the bottom end. Oh, it's like,
Reverend.
Screw them. Let's bomb them because they don't matter. They're not as human as we are. Well, that's what...
Hold on, stop. I'm going to lose my train of thought. Hold on.
Okay,
hold on. That is an issue. But before
that's
we get to that issue. There
is
an issue of credibility here. Now, we can't...
Wow.
There is... We need... Before we listen to people, people have to be credible, okay?
Okay, so we didn't kill 500,000 people in Iraq.
No, I'm talking about we did. Actually, there's no actual numbers of how many we killed, but there's estimates of over 100,000.
Right.
But,
okay. Hold on. Go out there and say it, and that Fox and MSNBC and all those assholes aren't going to say it. He's got the balls
no,
to
I think
stand
we,
up and say,
hold on,
we
but,
did this.
No.
That's legitimacy.
Churchill has to be credible before we are to take him personally seriously. If in fact he is guilty of plagiarism, we shouldn't be listening to this guy, no matter how valid.
How about the fact that he was a Vietnam veteran?
He was not a combat veteran. He didn't. He drove. He was a projectionist and a truck driver.
Yes, but he served the country, and he has as much right to speak about it.
But, you know, I don't see why a veteran – you know something? Everyone has the right to speak, and I don't see why him being a veteran gives him any more right to say anything than me. But if he's a plagiarist, does being a veteran cancel out him being, you know – does it make it okay for him to be a plagiarizer? Is that what you're saying?
The way you're referring to him as a plagiarizer, then let's just call
I'm not
him.
Sure yet. Hold on here. I never said he was a plagiarizer. I never
I
said that.
Did.
No.
Basically, then,
I said,
say that so is Martin Luther King.
No, you're going to have to find my quote.
You'll never find my quote. Kennedy, anyone who uses a quote from a former speech or anyone from philosophy or anything, they're all plagiarizers. That's the essence of speech writing.
You're going to have to go over this
Same
tape.
Same with Abraham Lincoln.
You're going to have to go over this tape and find my quote where I call him a plagiarizer. I said that he's extremely suspect.
Okay.
I'm still nonpartisan here. I'm not for Churchill. I'm not against him. But I think we have a credibility issue that needs to be looked into. And I just looked into one of these accusations of plagiarism. There was numerous issues of plagiarism cited.
But you see, that's the whole trick of the media. They've got you distracted from the real root of the cause.
You know what?
The real problem is the fact that we commit genocide around the globe, and it's a constant, daily, real blood and guts murderous situation out there, and he's the only one standing up and saying it. And
no, that's not true.
Everyone else trying
that's
to tear him down with all this terrible. That is not true.
Chomsky wrote a book too. Okay, that was shocking too. But no, he never received the attention because it was not nearly as shocking as Churchill's book.
Well, he's not really allowed in the country very much. You hear him on some like real small indie stations, but
what do you mean
he's
not?
More,
what do you mean
he's
not allowed in the country?
I heard Randy Rhodes or whatever from Air America. You know, when they first started out, he was like, "Oh, great! Now you can have people like Noam Chomsky on." He says, "No, we're not." And he's like, "Why? Well, because Noam Chomsky is Noam Chomsky." Okay. That was Randy Rhodes from the Air America radio show.
No, but I want to know what that means.
I don't know what that means. I listened to her for another week or so, and I decided she was like just as bad as Limbaugh on the side of the left, and I stopped listening.
I don't really know her very well.
It's just ridiculous.
Reverend, I'm just trying to cut through the crap here. I don't want to worship left-wing gods that say the right things just because they're saying the right things.
You need to be credible before you say things. I'm not worshiping anybody, and you don't have to worship anybody. He doesn't want to be worshiped, but the point is... The point is, half a million children dead in Iraq. The point is, 3,000 dead at the World Trade Center. The point is, America has a sliding scale on human value that we have to fucking throw away and realize that those lives over there are just as valuable over here. And if we want our children over here to be safe, let's stop fucking with people over there.
That's the point. But there's also a point that we need to take a serious look at Churchill and his credibility.
See, that's the distraction. I think you're way off there.
I don't think so.
Oh, totally.
Well,
you can make fun of Ann Coulter because, well, let's face it, she's fun to make fun of. But at the same time, you're really tearing down someone who's being a good human being and true to himself. And
I find that questionable.
I know you do, but you're just buying into the rest of the propaganda that says that maybe this, maybe that. Mm. Well, the truth is, he's saying the truth. He is saying, that we have to relook at our foreign and domestic policies. If we want to live, in a better world, then let's just stop, you know, screwing around with other people's countries and dictating and murdering their children. Because if we want our children to be safe, let's be real and understand that the technocratic core was what they were after in 9/11. And they weren't after the innocents because, you know, how many years did we pound on them? And, you know, eventually they've got to, you know, do something for themselves. And they did.
All right.
Finally. Took $30 worth of box cutters.
Look.
You know, because they don't have the billions of dollars
that we do to pound on people. Reverend, I think we're beating a dead horse here.
Okay.
If you want to go on, we could. But I think, I think this horse is fucking really dead 10 times over. you know,
look at the root of it. Don't look at Ward.
I'm gonna pee, and then we're gonna wrap this show up. Okay. We are back. The Reverend here has just threatened my life. if I said any more negative things about Ward Churchill, I made that up. He didn't threaten my life. I'm making that up.
I'm a nonviolent person.
Just like Ward Churchill.
That's right. I also believe in armed struggle, just like Ward Churchill too.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to say in the few minutes that we have that you know, something really weird. I've been looking at my web statistics. And my military hits from, like, military sites are up to fucking 2.8. So I know that you baby killers are out there listening to me. And I just want to say, you know, I don't know whether you're listening to me because you like me or you don't like me. But fuck you, okay? I have no respect for you. Your only moral option is to get out of Iraq. And I'm sorry, I know I'm going to offend a lot of people by saying I don't respect or support the troops, but I don't, and I'm sorry. Get out. It's wrong. It's immoral. Get the fuck out.
You're here.
All right.
And more power.
I know that you have more. I know that you have more respect for the troops than I do.
I live right next to a military base, and yeah, I do because I live near their families, and I have kind of a history. I mean, the bars I go to, they're all old veterans, and they're, you know, they've done their duty, and you know, you'd be surprised in how they feel about this war, but. But I think, you know, there are some people that are just, you know, uneducated and not, thanks to our school system, you know, have no real choice other than go in the military, even for, like, trying to get college. But there are good people out there, like Sergeant Benderman, who's, you know, basically refusing to return to Iraq. His, I don't know, it's called Refusnik or, I can't remember, you know, what...
And that's, I think that's the Israeli...
he's American. Sergeant Benderman.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say that it is, you know, Israelis are also, they have an organized...
the Air Force, yeah.
They are organized, and there's been several hundred soldiers that have refused... To serve in the occupied territories, and you know, it's a lot easier for me to say this because I'm just an armchair warrior, okay? But you know, you really no one could actually force you to really do anything, okay? You can say no. You really can say no, just like Nancy used to tell people, but it's true. Okay.
To a degree, yeah, I know what you're saying, and I think that's a good point, assuming that people are responsible and self-responsible and, you know themselves. But I'll tell you, that's just not the way that you know, the world works these days.
I know, but
they really don't have a choice. They can either work at Walmart or they can get into the military and try and earn some college.
Well, look, they have to live with themselves.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm just saying, if you can engage and reinforce the murder and oppression of Iraqis, then if you could live with that, then all the power to you.
But you see, I don't think, you know, on the whole, they don't really look at it that way. They might realize that after being there for a while, you know, after, you know, like, I don't even want to go into that. But, you know, that's one thing that, you know, once you're in a war situation, your life changes. You totally change. You're not the same person you were. And that's what the military does, is they, you know, basically strip you of yourself, your knowledge of self, so you're a blank slate going in there. And if you're lucky enough to make realizations, or if you're smart enough to, learn from your mistakes, that's where a man comes out. But going in, no, they're not men. They're just suckers. And that's how I feel. They're suckers because they think they can, you know, get the pay, get their Camaro, and they're so cool. But once they're over there, if they, you know, come back the same, then they're still suckers. Otherwise, but if they come back changed, those are men.
Yeah.
And you got to respect that.
Well, I don't know. I have difficulty respecting anyone that is involved in this heinous, evil occupation of Iraq.
Oh, understood. But, you know, that's the beauty of it. I mean, I wouldn't think this way if I didn't know them, if I didn't shake the hands of people who had, like, crossed the lake at Tarawa, you know, and, you know, if I wasn't surrounded by, you know, a lot of really stupid Marines, but a few really, you know, brave men that happened to be Marines. And, you know, I'm honored to drink with them. I'm honored to go to the bars with them. You know, I'm honored that they're there. But the thing about it is, you know, the Marine Corps, you know, they're a can of whoop ass. But the problem is that we're trying to use them as police, and they're not police. And, you know, I support them, but I think they should be, you know, protecting here and not there. Because right now they're just being used. They're tools right now, unfortunately. And they're not police. You know, that's why you can look at Iraq and say, oh, we're helping rebuild the country. No, we're not. It's a siege. You know, I know Americans. If we wanted to, we could go in there and fix their entire country within the span of a year, because that's the American initiative. That's how Americans work. We can do stuff when we really want to. But it's obvious to me.
I don't think even if we wanted to, we could fix Iraq.
Well, it's not America. It's Bechtel, and it's not America. It's not the Army Corps of Engineers. It's not
Iraqis never asked to be fixed.
True.
Okay. They never invited us.
Sure.
I think this is not a fixable problem.
Yeah. Well, that, and we really had no intent of going in there and fixing the place up anyhow. It was a promise that, you know, I don't think we can make good on. Basically, all up to the Iraqi people what they want to do, you know. So, and when, you know, and now I'm getting these people who voted for Bush, well, you know, I'm a little disappointed about this, and I'm a little disappointed about his decision, but then I'm like, you voted for him. You sit and stew. You know, this is what you voted for.
Yeah, I can't see why the church can't condemn these people to hell.
Well, partly because I think that, isn't it true that this new pope was a former Hitler youth?
Is that true? You know, you should have told me that before the show.
No, I'm telling you. I mean, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Check this out, Moshe. Everyone's going, oh, but he abandoned Germany in 1944. Everybody abandoned Germany in 1944. They lost the war. You know, everybody did. And that, you know, comes around, goes around. So now we're like, kind of like,
oh, the hell are you?
Uh-huh.
but you know, I look at it now, like we're surrounded. We're on like surrounded by all sides. We got a former Hitler Youth Pope. We've got the grandson of Hitler's accountant as president, and we've got Arnold, our first American Führer. You know, who basically got into office because of this cult of personality, basic propaganda. He had no really, and now he's running around saying close the borders, and then you know they catch him on. He's like, oh no, it was a misspeak. I meant to say protect the borders, but no, he meant close the borders. You know, and so you know stuff like that. You know, there's sinister for you. There's some evil for you.
All right.
Let's look at it. And actually, I look at this new pope, and I'm like, God damn, this guy looks like, you know, like the evil empire from Star Wars. I mean, the emperor from Star Wars. With teeth. You know, all he has to do is put that hood on, and there you go.
I don't know. He's kind of cute, actually. Don't you think he's kind of cute?
He looks evil, man.
I just picture.
Looks like those teeth should be razor, should be, like, at points.
Look at that picture on my website. Does he look like a little cutie pie there?
No, he looks evil to me.
He looks like a barrel full of cute furry monkeys.
Dude, all he needs to do is show his fangs. He's got like, you know, like, oh, dude.
No, this is the cutest little Hitler Youth they've ever had. Probably the Hitler Youth of the year.
We're surrounded, Moshe.
You know those, like, boys' magazines? No, they're actually for girls. Didn't they have, like, all these cute kids in there? Like,
well, you know, you got to ask yourself about the Catholic Church, too. Why aren't there, like, altar girls? You know, there's altar boys, and just that's...
Well, you know, girls aren't as pretty as boys.
Yeah, I guess.
They
got to uphold the tradition. That's why, you know, law, basically, they moved them to the Vatican. You're one of us, boy. You covered all those pedophiles' ass. Go up and say some nice words to the Pope. All right.
All right. So, hopefully we've really got ourselves in trouble and there'll be some other angry white male giving us hell. Okay, we really have to wrap this up. No, I just want to do my credits, and that'll be it.
All right.
All right. I'd like to thank John Truby for the music for the show. And you know what? I stopped doing this, but I want to end this show playing his song from now on. And this show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. It may be retransmitted, provided that it is not altered or excerpted in any way. To get a copy of this week's show to syndicate freely on your website, go to radioforall.net or go to TalkWarrior.com, send us an email, and we will show you how to do it. And for those of you that think like the good reverend here, to have no respect for intellectual property, well,
cut it out, folks.
Watch out.
It's yours.
Yeah, it's your right. Jeez.
Hit the planet while you're at it.
Right. Yeah, and also, why don't you just, you know, make recordings of it and just sell it while you're at it, you know? Maybe you could, you know, put your kids through college.
Moshe, let's face it, who would buy this? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe 20 years from now, 100 years ago, someone's going to discover. They're going to say, this is an insane, like, he's not a genius, but this is the most insane 95 IQ guy. He's like a retarded genius. All right. Okay, we gotta wrap it up. I think we'll probably do another show in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.